Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name's Amino Hassan, joined as always by Black Trey, by Big Jerv, and we got a special guest today. He is the star and the co-creator of the show that we review here and love, Flatbush Misdemeanors. He's making his second bomb appearance. His name is Dan Perlman. Very funny guy. We'll get to him in just a second. But first, I got to do all the housekeeping stuff where I beg you people to join the Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. You know, that's where we do all of our extra content, like the overflow episodes, like the live watch alongs, the Discord. Oh, you name it, we got it. You want to be a Patreon, you have to be a Patreon. And if you are already a Patreon, tell your mooching ass friends to stop asking for the password. Come up off a couple of bucks a month. Be a Patreon. Do the right thing. And thank you as always. We're going to talk a little bit later about P-Valley and this whole Cinderella storyline. R. Kelly got sentenced. We'll, I guess, have some fun with that one. If, as much fun as you can have for someone who's a serial rapist and child molester. And also, questions about your responsibilities as a stepdaddy. But first, we talk to the man who has a special relationship with his stepdad on the show, Dan. About a week ago or so, there was a Twitter thing going around that says the stars of the last show that you watched are who have to rescue you from getting kidnapped. And I just watched Flatbush Misdemeanor, and I said, shit, you tell me I gotta rely on Dan and Kareem to save me from a
hostage crisis? You're fucked.
I'm completely
fucked, dog.
I'll say I don't think my guy would be much help, but Kareem, he did save Dan from overdosing. He's always on the ball, you know.
He is always on the ball. There's something about Kareem's positivity, no matter what, that just it's funny, but it's also in a weird way uplifting. Like the whole, hey, we're not selling bikes. Guess what? I'm going to nail these bikes to the ground. I'm going to open a spin studio. Yes. And your character points out there's a Blink across the street. And he says, even better, I'll just steal clients.
Kareem is a guy, if you were lost in the woods, he wouldn't panic. He would be like, that's fine. I do great with bark. I can use it as a pillow. Like, he would just adjust. He would acclimate. He's roll with the punches and just loves it every step.
All right. So, Dan, let me start here. Season two, we are three episodes in. We're real happy that the show is back. Obviously, you're happy that the show is back. But how much time between the end of season one and the green lighting of season two did you have, and what were your feelings in that time?
We wrapped filming in like May, I want to say, of season one, and then it aired really quickly. It started airing like later that month, so it was like super quick. And then once it finished airing in, I think, August 1st, I want to say. And then we knew we were greenlit for the second season, like within a couple weeks after that.
Got it.
Got formal. So I don't know. I honestly was so like just beaten and like drained after the first season, because it was such a quick turnaround and timeline, and there's like just a million shit things you have to get done, and it's like running a marathon. You can't even really like. You just have to cross the line. And so once I crossed the finish line, I just collapsed essentially. And I was out in LA a lot of last summer, just doing as little as possible. So those are my feelings of just mostly vacant thoughts or whatever. I was glad I was seeing if people were enjoying it, and I was glad about that. But I wasn't when they said season two, or even when that was announced, I had a couple thoughts, vague thoughts of where it would go. But I didn't even start entertaining it much until we had to get into it.
When you get season three, you ain't gonna text me back. See, you could be changing, man.
No, man. I saw you in the village. You'll just keep upgrading. I'll just see
more in person. Hey, dog, I told y'all I ran into him on accident, right?
I feel like Trey, no, you didn't run into him. He ran into you because I ran into you. There's something about Trey. Like, New York City is a big city. There's so many places, millions of people. And I've managed to run into Trey multiple times now by accident. I had no idea he was going to be there. He just happens to be there. So I feel like you ran into him, Dan. He didn't run into you.
Bro, I'm leaving Soho House, and he mobbing, and I'm like, And I didn't want to startle him too, because we've never formally like met in the city. So I'm like, yo, Dan. He like kind of looked, was like, oh, what's up, bro? Like, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, no, random black dudes walking up. Like, I didn't want to just startle him. Shit.
No, yeah, no, it's always a thing. It's that never quite goes away. This thing where somebody says your name, you're like, am I in trouble? Like, what did I do? You know what I mean? I'm always like, did I bump into this person? Did I do something? Like, you never know. Like, what is this about to be a negative interaction, you know? So that's always where my head is.
So thinking about season two, we got, you know, when it started, Trey asked you to come on the show. And obviously, first week was a little crazy, whatever. You said, wait until after episode two, and because it's going to be different. And we watched episode two, and it was different, but it was still Flatbush misdemeanor. Like, it was just, the locale was different because it's Kev's gone back home. And we've had a lot of discussions over the years about other shows that go off the beaten path, so to speak, and manage to create good content, but feels like a different show. The most famous example is The Wire season two, right? It's sure. Felt so different from what The Wire season one was about, and even The Wire season three was about. But it was connected, but it was kind of very tangentially connected in that it was about the docs and these Polish immigrants versus kind of the black characters in the towers and the low rises, etc. The more recent example would be Atlanta, where they'd had an episode for the guys in Europe. And then all of a sudden we have this random thing about, you know, a town where it got, that got flooded or whatever. And so in all of these, it feels like you got to do some work in order for it to feel connected to the main story. I thought you guys did a great job of making it still feel like the show, even though it was very different. How hard was it to walk that line, or did you even care about walking that line?
I don't, I think that it's not, at least for me, it was not a thing that I put a lot of like conscious thought into, because you're like aware that it's going to be going left. And it's one of those things that you figure like, all right, some people will be like along for this ride and then some won't. But I think I wasn't worried about the continuity of like how it felt as much, because it was like, it's the same crew. Like, we have the same director did the first three episodes. So he did that whole first block. So it was like, there's going to be some consistency in like the pace and the tone and how he's like working the performances, and, you know, the same DP. So it's shot the same. So, yeah, I don't know. So Kev wrote that script. So I think that, that's nice to hear. That's nice to hear that it was able to like feel different, but also still grounded. And it doesn't take much. It just took the like a couple phone calls and stuff. And, you know, if there's a sex scene, that there's still like a joke involved with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, because that's always a thing that I'm looking at or thinking about, of like, I'm not trying to have my guy just like successfully like that feels so grimy to be writing like, and then Dan fucks her really. It's like, who do you think you are, man? Get over yourself. So it's just like, okay, so it's gotta be, all right, he falls asleep, or and then for Kev it's like, oh, she's got the tattoo or whatever. For my guy, there's other shit this season. So it's just like, it's just finding those jokes there, because at the end of the day, like, you know, these guys are going to get whack-a-mole back down. So it's just finding moments for that.
I really love in this new episode, Kev's newfound freedom of like removing the hat. Like, he's just like, fuck it. He don't care about his hairline. He's just out here just owning it. You know, right. He's probably at a low point and he just really doesn't care. But I really thought that was just hilarious. You know what I mean? Like, this season has just been different, you know, from the fucked up haircut from the jump. And then... Right. And then now we just got a confident Kev who's just trying to make it into art space. Yeah. AKA the No Negro Left Behind. Non-Negroes.
Yeah. I mean, that whole stuff. And Zoe Winters, who plays Nancy, the art lady, is so funny. She's insanely funny. A part that, like, on paper, I was always looking at that part and I was like, this could be very one note. It could feel very like just one note racist, like villain kind of thing. But like that scene when she's talking to Kevin, Kevin's like, where do I get the supplies? Like, have you tried Family Dollar? And he's like, oh, I thought you paid. And she's like, where'd you hear that? Like, none of those lines are written funny, but she delivers them. She has a funny line reading every single line. Like, she makes an interesting, funny choice. So those scenes, I'm excited for people to see all those scenes with her because I think she steals all those scenes and just really makes it pop.
The line that your show does this a lot, where I don't think this was the main joke, but it's so funny to me that like sometimes it overpowers everything else. She's sitting there in an interview with Kev, and she refers to the old Asian man as D'Angelo.
Yeah.
No, I laugh so hard that his character. No, yo, and that's who she's cussing out when he says about there were no right. beds in the dorm. She said, "Fucking D'Angelo." it's funny because the show is very grounded in reality. I would say as funny as it is, it's grounded in reality. But there's just these moments of absolute absurdity.
Right.
That like the old Chinese man or Asian man named D'Angelo. Like,
but the blackfish in Ike and Tina.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I was like, bro, wait.
On the wall, man.
But that's so fun. Like that absurd stuff to me it's always way funnier when it's not acknowledged, you know? Like when you just have it there. Cause it feels like that's how, especially like New York, if you're just walking around, you're seeing crazy shit all the time. But you don't have the time to be like, wait, what the fuck? Like, you don't really have that luxury. So you just see that and you're like, that's crazy. And you just keep it moving, you know? So it's like, yeah, this Asian guy runs the program. She calls him D'Angelo. God, he gives a very funny when she's like, is it good enough for you? And he gives this very, like, it's like nice little like thumbs up. He's just like a very funny, like a very funny performer. Yeah.
Trey, the line was when Kev, she asked Kev, why did you apply to the program? Yeah. And he starts talking about alums, and she cuts him off. She said, that's good enough for me. She turns, and she says, is that good enough for you, D'Angelo? And he just, like, you know, like you said, like this very kind of, like, thumbs up. And that's it. Doesn't have a line or nothing. Even, like, you talked about the sex scene and the way Kev looks at the tattoo through the mirror, then looks at, kind of cranes his neck around her back.
Right.
And I was trying to think about this, like, is there a name that could have been funnier than Doug? Because for some reason, there's something funny just about seeing the name Doug.
In black Dougs in general is fucking funny. I always think about Hangover. Or I just think about any, like, it's very, outside of Doug Williams, he's the quarterback, right? The black quarterback from, I don't know fucking black Doug. Doug West. Like,
Doug West.
Like, it's
Dougie Press.
Who's Doug West?
Basketball player. The Timberwolves.
Back in the day. His name wasn't. Oh, I thought it was David West.
No, that's different.
No. I know. I had a senior moment. My bad. I'm sorry.
But no, I really was thinking about that. Like, I don't know any Dougs personally.
Yeah.
Black Dougs, at least.
I knew a black Doug in high school.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I just.
But
I
Jerv, you went to PWI high school.
Yeah, I knew a black Doug, but like he didn't even go by Doug though. I think it's like he went by Henry.
Like, it's even worse.
I think like so Doug might have like Doug so might have been like his first name, but he wanted to go by like his middle name or something. Yeah.
He hated his first name.
I guess yeah. I mean, everyone called him Henry, but his name was Doug. Like shit's crazy.
I got a homie that don't like his first name, and he goes by his middle name too.
I got in my mind. I got Jerv walking down the hallway and say, "What's up, Doug?" And he grabbed me. Was like, "Hey, nigga, none of these white people know that's my name. You call me Henry. You understand?"
But I feel like Henry is like dog. Thinking about a nigga being called Henry instead of Doug, bro. Like they both well off. Like they both like crazy ass names.
Well, if you're Henry, you go right to Hank. Yeah. You go straight to Hank. But if you go to Hank, then you go straight to being 80 years old, you know?
A black Hank too. A young Hank, black Hank true. Is crazy.
Yeah, young ain't no young Hank. Yeah. Hank is old, and Hank like works a blue collar job, something with his hands, right?
I don't think I've ever met a Hank.
No, but Doug's have like super. They have supervisor written in their career path.
Yeah, I think he did. Like he's like he started like a school or something like that. I think
if you're so, yeah, Doug, you're you automatically into a supervisor role. Like that shit just gets the name tag. You know what I mean? It just has a mechanic name tag on it. It just comes with the script of Doug.
In The Hangover, Mike Epps was Black Doug.
Yeah. There you go. It was that's Black the, Doug.
But it was so rare that they pointed out.
Yeah, to specify, yes.
Yo, what location were they supposed to be in episode two?
Louisiana.
Okay. We thought it was Texas, but we knew something south. Okay, so a black Doug working at Old Navy?
Walmart. He wasn't. Oh, that's. Yeah. Oh yeah. Old Navy.
It's Old Navy because Cap crazy. Didn't want to work at Target. That's selling fucking baby crazy. Clothes.
Black Doug working at Old Navy in Louisiana. That's fucking crazy.
Khakis on.
Oh, too good, man. So one of the themes of this last episode that came out is. Dan, the character Dan, not you, confronting his addiction and confronting his fear of confrontation, right? In its essence, it's not even so much about the addiction of fixing. It's about like the idea. The reason why is because you're afraid to have confrontation. And again, you guys told this line between like, I remember I'm sitting there, I'm like, yo, this is serious. This is like an actual serious kind of conversation. And then obviously, you know, you get the funny that happens and within him trying to find a sponsor that doesn't tell him about doing coke at bingo.
Yeah.
Do you like how, what's that process of writing and where you're trying to convey a serious point, but you're like, man, I got to slip in a joke here somewhere.
It's very, you just kind of like, you feel it out. It's so weird, like, maybe sensory is the wrong word, but that's how it feels when you're like writing it. Like you feel yourself when, and this is probably just from the mindset of like being a comic and doing stand-up, is you have a sense of like, oh, the audience needs to laugh here. Like you feel right. yourself, all right, it's taking a little serious. Let's undercut it with a joke here. Or like, this guy's making a serious point. That person's making a serious point. There could be some energy. You just kind of feel that out. And sometimes you look at it a little like afterwards and you're like, all right, maybe the balance, there's too many jokes and then we can scale it back or whatever. Right. Like you can always scale it back, but I think it's good to have a couple of those to choose from. Cause then you can like always take it, which we do all the time. There's sometimes all the time there's like extra jokes. The scene with me and Roy as the principal, like we're throwing in all kinds of extra jokes and stuff, but then it's like, oh, we don't even need it. We don't need all those extra ones because the ones of him taking out the quarter waters and looking for his insulin and me being like, I'm going to make you very proud teaching sex to kids. Like all that stuff is enough. And then we could just keep it moving, you know?
What's, I mean, sometimes, like you said, there's a joke that's tremendous, but it just doesn't fit, or sure. It's overkill. So you know you cut it out to make the scene better. Right. What's the best joke you've had to leave on the cutting room floor of that?
Man, variety? there's so many of them, man. Like the ones that jump out are Yamanika jokes when she's going off, yelling at me because as my therapist, because she right. says so much funny shit that. I wish we could just use all of it or just throw up all of it because it's so like she's yelling at me in that first episode this season about therapy. She's like, this is so last minute inconsiderate. She's like, I need you to get me lunch, which we used. And she's like, I need you to get me Beyonce's hairstylist. And then I was like, okay, do you want me to reach out to her? And she was like, you think you're good enough to talk to Beyonce? And I was like, no, I wouldn't talk to Beyonce. I'd reach out to the Hive, you know. She was like, the Hive. She said, I would smack the shit out of you for saying that. She's just like so funny going in on me like that. There was a thing at the end of the Strader scene, the reinstatement hearing scene, where it was like we had the arbitrator saying like, all right, keep it moving. We have an alleged sex offending English teacher coming up. And Kareem like turns to Yamanique and he's like, oh, I'm staying for that. You know, there's just like a lot of little like funny moments and shit.
Kareem had a line. He said, thank you, Congressman, when he was I
toss that out to I say that when Drew
Oh, that's right. Yeah, when Drew left there because he was undercover.
Right.
Yamanika, I think she said she wanted an Uber, not a Lyft, unless it's three niggas lifting me up into the Uber. And then when she asked for lunch, she said, you want me to make you lunch? And she said, I don't want you making me lunch.
She gives me this look up and down. And that was so, like, she improvised all that, the Uber stuff and the making lunch stuff, that I just threw that at her. And she just, I lob it to her and she just hits it 400 feet. Like, she's so good with the improv. And, like, that's why it's so important for her, especially, to shoot us both at the same time. Because sometimes we'll do it like, oh, we'll do all this stuff on my side and then we'll go over to you, you know, and then we'll shoot on your side. But with her, it's like, it's so improv and funny and quick. We got to get it both because she's not going to do it the same way every time.
Right.
So let's just get our reaction so we can use that funny.
How do you, stuff, you know? How do you not crack?
Oh, I do. I do. I fully do. Like, when she was saying that Uber stuff, and she like she would made me break a couple times saying that one because she was like, if I see you talking to that man, if I see you talking, like she's going on about, she's like, she's like, if you get anywhere near that car, and if one of those kids says anything about you doing something weird to them, I was like, no, nobody's going to say that. And I was like, and if I had those inclinations, I'd go to you, my psychologist. She was like, you wouldn't go to me for that. I don't treat anybody for that. You better go to Chris Hansen. Get your fucking ass away from me. Like, she's so funny.
That would have been great.
Yeah, I know, but it was like, there was so much already. It was just like, it's a buffet. You're just, you know, embarrassment of riches kind of thing. So, I break all, she broke once when we were filming that scene and I was so happy. I like jumped up because that's the first time she's laughed. And so to fuck up a take. So I jumped up in excitement. I was like, yeah, I'm broke. I gave her a hug because I was like so excited that she couldn't hold it together either.
So y'all got some sick one-liners in this episode that I wanted to read off. Luka Doncic, what's up with my bike? White people love Kyrie.
Oh man.
Is your man's one or two people?
Yo, every time you notice this, every time anyone is talking to Dan, like they're just talking, Dan has like this commentary in return that nobody acknowledges.
Yes.
He said, is your man's one or two? Drew keeps talking and then he says, tell him. Like, oh, okay, so it's just one.
Yeah. And that's all. That's just my like comic. Like, if there's a silence here, I can fill it with a joke. It's like not in the script because then it would be like, the script's too long. But I'm like, I can just sneak in a joke here.
Man, I love it, man. You got dead man energy.
Oh, yeah.
You don't pay me to be the pussy police and smack dicks out of her hand. And did Kareem's passcode. 2453, it means bike.
Yeah. Don't forget that, but don't remember it neither because I change it every week.
Yeah, we did some fun stuff with the security code this season. What, he was resetting the code to at different points. And Jackie Fabulous is another comedian. She plays V, the woman watching Zayna. She's a very funny comic also.
Are most of these people like you've come through on the club circuit? How are you casting for these roles?
A lot of them are comedians because Kareem is a stand up.
Yeah.
You know, Yamanika, obviously a stand up. Right. Roy, who plays the principal, is a stand up, you know, one of the best. And Maria, who plays my mom, obviously. So that's always good because they'll make it stronger. Napoleon Blue, who's always playing the video games, he's a comic, he's very funny. I was just at doing a show in Charlotte and he's from there, so we were there together doing a show. And But yeah, so it's like it makes it easier when you cast comics because they know their voice, and so you can write closer to their voice. But then it's fun when you can find other people who can also feel like grounded or real, and that's what like Kristen, who plays Zaina, does, and Hassan obviously is amazing, and Alyssa also, who plays my new love interest this season. She, I've known her for years. She does comedy as well, so that made it much easier playing off her, you know.
I figured that was going to be a love interest, even though I was like, what happened to the, you know, to the principal? Or what was she in administration?
Yeah, vice principal, yeah.
She got fired?
Yeah, because that's a funny, because I was talking to a friend, one of my close friends, he's a teacher, and his wife was the vice principal. Like, I kind of yanked their dynamic in the first season. And I was like, how would that work? And he's like, well, the fucked up thing is like, he's like, I would probably be sent to the rubber room on suspension, but she would just be fired because they'd be like, it's almost like their expectations are higher for her.
Right.
But he's like, but I could kind of be an idiot and they would just, I'd maybe get away with it. And I was like, all right, well, that's pretty funny. Yeah.
So here's my tip for season three. When y'all get picked up, Dan becomes Mr. Bitches. She comes back around. So you get the girl finally. Shit is almost going up, and then this is where your shit go down because now you've never had hoes.
Yeah, I think Dan's kind of a James Bond figure, and we got to start leaning into that a little more, you know.
It's stirred in a carafe, right?
Yeah, a license to kill. Yeah.
Oh man, the show is Flatbush Misdemeanors. It's on Showtime. It's hilarious. It's funny. It's smart. The last thing I'm gonna tell you, Dan, about this, I really like the end because there was no joke. Like, I kept waiting for like a joke to break the tension, and I was like, oh no, this ain't funny. He's getting arrested, and Dan is talking through this conflict.
Snitch.
This conflict. Yeah, until the guy gets up and calls you a snitch, and the guy who looks by the way looks like Dominique Foxworth, ESPN fame.
Yeah, that's Ken Boyd. He's a funny comic as well, who was in the web series originally. That was a fun. The guy who calls me Luka Doncic, and that guy, and the cashier who says the Kanye line in the first one, Amina. Right. They're all comedians who were in the web series originally. So that was a cool thing, as we could try to get as many people from the original in the show as possible. But yeah, but we didn't do, I mean, we just wanted to sort of like deal with the reality of it at the end. But even in that scene, like, it's obviously very serious what's happening, but like, I think Hassan, and I was nervous about it feeling too serious, but Hassan is being so funny in that scene when he's like, y'all know Eric Adams, my cousin, right? And he's doing that. Things like, you don't want to piss off the Adams family. It's like, you know, he said, I'm telling you, if I know Eric, which is such a like guy about to get in trouble, saying like, look, this is your funeral. You know, it's just like,
we're all going to be in a cell looking at each other. Like, he's not going to be free after this.
And I'm like, going to be doing your, he said, I'm going to be doing your paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that was a Hassan improv line. The I'm doing your paperwork. It's so funny. It's so funny. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously super serious what's happening, but like being able to like balance that tone is something that's like, yeah, I think like really important to the show. And also, and so it's the writing, but also the casting. It's like, we're real lucky with that cast that they're able to do that real well, that it's like comics and also just actors who are able to like just hit jokes super, super funny. Even there's like a super subtle thing when Drew is getting arrested and it cuts away and you see a neighbor just like with a bowl of popcorn, just like eating popcorn. It's like a real quick blink and you miss thing, but it's just like a neighbor enjoying it to the side. So yeah, anytime you could find those like little moments to like add levity to it, you know, that's huge for me.
Well, Dan, thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate you spending the time with us, breaking things down. We really do truly love the show. It's not just because you're here. Like, love the show. So thanks for joining us.
No, man, anytime. Yeah. I was hoping we'd talk about KD and Kyrie also, but I'll just listen to your guys.
Oh, man. Yo, man. Let me ask you real quick. If you had to put money on it, is KD asking out because Kyrie is staying, or is he asking out because he's offended on Kyrie's behalf?
I guess I figured it was somewhere in the middle. I figure it's like he would have done the long-term deal. You know, if they'd given Kyrie a long-term deal, he'd be like, all right, I'll commit to this. But without that, it's like, oh, this is going to be just another shit show of a season. And then Kyrie is going to do what Kyrie does, and he's going to bounce. And so I might as well get the fuck out of Dodge also. That's kind of how I saw it.
Go ahead.
I feel like KD has a little bit of that syndrome of, like, you know, that guy who always dates the wrong girl. I think there's like a little bit of that with KD. That's what felt like what the Kyrie thing was.
I know where the right girl would be. Just wanted to put that out there.
Nobody want to go to Philadelphia but Drew. No. Yeah. Only person that want to go to Philadelphia is Drew.
I mean, his beard doesn't connect, so he might not be. He might not be good here, but you know, I'm just saying we got. He might be all right here.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh man. I just feel like KD is doing the thing that when you don't want to go out, and then someone gives you a reason to not go out, and then you become the champion of that reason. Like, you know, you don't want to go out, and someone says, "Oh man, like, some neighbors driving me nuts." What? No. We're not going to deal with that at all. You know what? Tell them we're not going. We're not going. We got a situation.
They did what? Well, that settles it then. I didn't realize they were slow to bring you your water or whatever. Yeah. They're just looking for an excuse. Yeah. Like feigned outrage. Yeah.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal, ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
All right, man. That was Dan Perlman. Shout out to him, man. That's a cool dude, very funny dude, and like I said, very funny show. Let's move on to a show that's... Should we talk about P-Valley right now? I want to transition to a show that's not so funny.
Yes.
Or, yep. Like, dog, what was this show about, man?
Cinderella.
I know, but why? But
it was so... I don't know, man.
Here's the thing, like, as I'm watching it, I thought to myself, you know what would have been cool? If they had done season two, like giving us flashbacks the whole time of everybody's origin story. Because I did enjoy, oh shit, like, you know, that's how she met old boy. Like, why is she riding so hard with a white guy or whatever? And Gidget was the cheerleading coach, you know? Mm-hmm. I won't lie, I'm like, oh, that's a nice kind of little backstory there. But, like, to make it into Cinderella, like, straight up, bro, with stepsisters and an evil stepmom, come on, man.
They brushed right over what I thought was probably the wildest part of it. At one point, the whole little hinting towards the relationship between her stepsister and her dad.
Yeah, like he was fucking with him.
Yeah. Bro, he blew it again.
So they were taking a picture, and Keyshawn's behind the camera, and she's taking the pictures, and he makes the contact, and he's like, you know, like kissing, and like the sister's looking like,
oh, hey, they're taking the picture, yeah, to take a picture of all of us or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, which is weird again. Like, I don't, you know, I know there are shitty dads everywhere. I don't know of any father who would allow his daughter to, like, be shit on like that in front of him, and then meanwhile, like, act like that's the family right there. I mean, if that were the case, she wouldn't even live with them, right? Like, ain't no dad that shitty. You won't live with me, but I'm gonna basically ignore you. Not even in Cinderella was her dad in the picture, right? Like, Cinderella was just a stepmom, but the dad was dead, right? That's why the stepmom got to get loose on her or whatever.
I definitely was shocked when she tried to come back to the crib at the end, and old girl told her, like, nah, I'm thinking her dad must have died or something. And she's like, yo, is my dad cool with this? Like, hold up, my dad is in his crib and I can't come in the house?
I don't know. That shit was funny. But between Jocelyn coming, you know, being the godmother.
I like that.
There was a lot going on.
Yo, Jocelyn spent like 5 years of Love and Hip Hop crying every time Stevie says he gonna send her back to the strip club.
Stevie,
he gonna tell me about the club. But then she's like, I'm an actress now. Word, what do you play? I play a stripper. you mean like you're a stripper who's performed? Nope, I'm on the stage stripping. Like, she was basically, what's the difference?
Hey, you know,
she might
funny,
take a pay cut to do that.
You know what's funny? That's not fucking funny. When Keyshawn and Wody, they like, is them niggas fucking? It's like, yeah, them niggas fucking probably. But what's they got mad when Teek got mad at Lil Murder?
That shit was just, it was just weird, yo.
Have y'all noticed Lil Murder gets a little bit more Gucci on him every episode?
Like, bruh.
This nigga's just like a Gucci billboard. Everything.
Is he just blowing? Is he just blowing the advance on the ride?
Not even on the ride,
bro. In the ride, yo, you riding in the hearse. You got all this Gucci, yo. This all this money. You got old girl doing a snow angel and a pile of money, but y'all riding. Y'all can't get a tour bus or like a van.
No, this shit is insane, and it doesn't make sense, man. Like, none of this shit makes sense. Other than, it's like a long music video, bro. That's what this shit is.
Can I ask you this? In no place on earth, if you are suspicious of the individual telling you to try a substance, right? You're already suspicious. You're saying, well, you try it first. Nowhere would anyone fall for such a lame okey-doke of, okay, I'll take a bump, and then it's, oh, he or she will never see that I took the one to the right.
Well, no, he said he didn't even do that. He said you playing baseball.
What that mean?
So like, what's that mean? You know, like you basically. So if it, in smoking terms, you know, mm-hmm. mostly you say, oh, you like passing the bat. You feel me? But mm-hmm. he chose a base. So he allowed him to like make it seem like he laid out the same type of shit because he was like, oh, this primo. He not looking at it. Also, how they put it, I don't know what happened. I guess he tapped the vial like this. Cause you could die off touching fentanyl with your own like immediately. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that they made it all dramatic, like how it's like, and the fact that his nostril and they gave him a slow death and that shit, he about to die. Instantly, you know what I'm saying? They just gave it a whole dramatic scene of watching his heart fail there. But yeah, no, it was crazy. No, he watched him do his own line. That's why he said you do it, and it was multiple lines already set up, and he made it seem like he just did it, like it was all the same shit. Like, because if he would have been like, nah, I'm not doing coke, it probably would have been like where you're coming from. But in his perspective, he was like, nigga, this shit all the same, kind of. You feel me?
I got you.
This show makes no sense.
It definitely, I tweeted out. I said, look, P-Valley is something, and I don't know where it's going.
I don't know, man. I mean,
They spent the budget on all those fucking drone shots that they have with the five lights and shit of the cars.
The drone shots, not expensive. Drone is like $500 or whatever. I'm going to tell you what they spent the money on. The soundtrack, nigga. Like every episode, I'm like, y'all are paying publishing on all. There's no way you got to hook up with all of these different artists, man, or all these different producers. Oh, like, you know how many people own these pieces? You got to clear it with everybody, man.
You know what's funny too? I forgot to say, they had the nigga the where the money reside, nigga, in the show. That's why they were able to use that line. I'm like, nigga, y'all out here cashing out.
Because that's why the mama. Who apparently used to work at the diner, now that we find mm-hmm. out, she was doing that in her like commercial for her little church or whatever. But like, I looked up the, cause I got one of my homeboys is a producer, and he produces for Bia. That's his artist, right? Mm. And so they used her song, and I was like, oh shit, my nigga get paid? And he didn't, he wasn't one of the guys listed. The crazier thing is that I, you know, looked up the credits, and because it sampled my milkshake, part of the writing credits on it are Pharrell and Chad Hugo. So I'm like, how many people you have to clear this thing just to use that song for fucking 5 seconds? Because she walking out of the high school or whatever, like her stepsister. I don't know, man. It's just it's a part of this. But also, the other thing is, maybe this is the wrong time to say this, but as I'm watching it, I was thinking, she's a pretty girl, Keyshawn. She's a very pretty girl. But she ain't bad like that in terms of her body. I'm like, they talk about the stepsister because she light skinned. I'm like, no, because the stepsister got a wagon, my nigga. Damn. Give a damn what color she is. Because Keyshawn legit, she pretty, man. She a pretty girl. But she just slender. You know, not my kind. Yeah. You know,
they was forcing it, bro. They wanted to do some colorism.
I just for what
it wasn't needed though, and I get it.
Unneeded.
They had some bars in there though. Even when the mama was like, "Don't let no man, you know, make you into no human Barbie
doll." Yeah, because that he can always barred
up. Hold up. By the way, if a fucking baby comes into a hospital with bruises on like that, she's not leaving.
She didn't
get leaving the hospital with that baby, dog. Like, come on, man.
None of their shit makes sense. None of this shit like even deserves to make sense. If that makes sense, right? Like, it's just so over the top that it's just like, what are we doing? What are y'all doing, man? It is what it is. It's P Valley. Let's go ahead. R. Kelly got 30 years. Is that enough? I don't know. Ghislaine Maxwell, who was part of the what's my man name? The guy who killed himself. The pedophile.
Epstein.
Epstein. Right.
Epstein, yeah.
She was basically the dude who was. She was the one who was like, she was the plug for getting these young girls. By the way, there's a documentary about her on Stars. I don't know if y'all want to do that one. You want to review that one? Because it's like they got people that she grew up with, and they were like, she's been a bitch all her life. You know, it wasn't one of those, oh, I never could have imagined. Like, the trailer made it seem like everybody like, yo, this bitch. Like, damn.
Whatever they saying she did that shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's exact energy off of that shit. So I don't know if y'all want to do that, but yeah, like, she got 20 years. And I kind of feel like 20 years for her, 30 years for her, they're both kind of low, bro. For all the shit they've done.
Them niggas should have got the book, bro. I should got the book on that one. You know, motherfuckers, I seen, and I hate the meme that's floating around like, yeah, you see how they do black men? He got 10 years more than her, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that nigga deserve all that shit. That nigga deserve all that shit.
I'm saying, like, he got off here light, man. 30 years? 30, he got off light.
He got off,
bro.
He 55. If he make it to 85, you know.
Dog, you ain't here. Like, this nigga's a celebrity's in jail, man.
Yeah.
Remember,
for real? I'm just.
Matt, dog, yeah, nigga. He's writing fucking songs for niggas in jail and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this nigga like found. Oh, this
nigga. Oh, it's the same thing with Bill Cosby. Niggas were coming up to him for therapy and shit in jail. Like, yo, man. I'm going to tell you something.
I don't want any therapy. From Bill Cosby.
Just give her a little bit less. Fix your marriage. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the idea of, like, we're so used to people being clout chasers on the outside. Like, I guess we didn't fathom or factor in that niggas could be cloud chasers on the inside too.
Could you imagine, like, a nigga sticking a nigga for R. Kelly?
You know what I'm saying? Like our original thing is like, oh, they're gonna get out to this rich nigga and they're gonna do this.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Molesting kids. Oh, we gonna get after him. Like, no, these niggas is like, yo, Kels, drop a beat on
niggas,
them.
Niggas love it, man. Just like the same way people still playing this shit.
Not I, said the cat.
It's crazy, but Kels, man, 30 years. That's pretty nuts. Pretty nuts. Other news story from this week. What do we got here on the rundown? Trey's nickname for P-Valley. It's fucking stupid, man. Oh, here we go. This was a big topic of conversation on the internet this week. I have no idea why. Somehow the concept of the stepdaddies, that was a skit.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see it. I just saw people arguing about, would you get your baby McDonald's? Just, I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Who out here doing this? But so describe it to me and everyone else who hasn't watched it. What was the premise of this skit?
What was
it? Either one of y'all.
The old girl? She has, what was it, three kids, Trey, I think, or whatever.
Yeah, she had three kids, and then, you know, he basically came and brought some food for his child only. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So, like, they live in the same house?
They live
not together.
No, so think about, scenario. Say I got a kid with a woman. She moved on, and she got kids with some other men, and she like, Your kid hungry. Yeah, it's my ex, right? And she's like, your kid hungry. I'm like, all right, fuck. I'm at work, but I'll bring him some when I get off. Right. So I get off, and I only bring my child some food.
Right.
Am I wrong for not feeding other kids? I'm not, I don't got no kids and I've never been in this position, but I know me and I will feed all them kids just by default because I just know.
You like, you feed all them kids, bro, but like you feed them like in like a, like, oh man, you, you definitely like, you no, gonna I'm show not, your kid I'm, love though. You gonna show I'm your kid love.
I'm not with her.
But I would say,
I misunderstood. I thought it was.
I might get an extra fry or something.
Stepchildren.
No.
I'm gonna treat them like my own. But like, y'all are telling me now. Now I'm understanding it. It's like my baby moms has moved on. Yeah, my responsibility is for my child. I wouldn't even think about it. Like, your baby's hungry. My guy, I pick some up. Like, I'm not thinking about her or them. I'm thinking about the kid.
Yeah.
If I'm going to Six Flags, I'm thinking my kid. I'm not taking some children I have zero connection to.
Also, like the trend picked up, right? Like the, what is it? When you duet and they duetted the video,
Stitch,
right?
Stitch, yeah.
And niggas was coming up, showing up with PS5s. Like when I come to drop the PS5 off to my kid, or when I drop the homemade computer to my kid and her other kids see, and they got the kids crying, like, like, and he just dancing. I'm like, this niggas is sick, because this niggas sick, really on that type of shit, bro. Like, I don't want my kid to be stunting on these niggas either. Like,
right. I don't want him to get his ass whooped after.
I was just talking to my cousin about that shit. Shout out to my cousin. Shout out to my cousin Bruce. It's his birthday. I was talking to him in a situation because, you know, he got a 17-year-old and he's just looking at it like they got siblings. Like, he said he'd just do it off the rip just because, you know what I'm saying? But like, thinking about it in another perspective, I was like, damn, that's kind of, you know how you see that homie that like, he don't inherit the kids, but like you see a nigga like, it's just like your cousins at your grandma's house, and you be like, fuck, yeah, man, like I gotta get all the kids, like, cool.
All these little,
and then nigga pull you to the side and say, you a good nigga.
wouldn't have been me.
Hey, nigga hit you on the side, like, you a good nigga, man.
couldn't be me.
You a good nigga, man. Hey, that's the funniest.
That's the elder's way of letting you know.
Like when you pull up to the house. And all the kids there, and you really came, because I do that shit with my grandma in Portland. I pull up, you know, I ain't got no favorite cousin, but they little. So the ice cream truck come by, I'm like, fuck, I gotta get there. I can't have a favorite out of all these little niggas.
Yeah, but all these things are different because you have some sort of connection. This ain't like, yo, I don't know, man. It's weird. I think it's weird.
It's not, bruh, it's one of them joints, whatever you do, it's somebody's going to be like, it wouldn't be me.
Pretty much. It's July 4th weekend. Most people are going to be listening to this on July 4th. I got asked this question yesterday on the radio. What is the must-have for a July 4th cookout? Because here's the thing. My answer to that question was, I have two answers. I have my favorite thing, but I don't think that my favorite thing would be a must-have thing for the cookout. So I asked you guys, on the grill, what is the must-have for the cookout?
Glizzies, hot links, patties.
I mean, I like fuck with ribs.
Onions and shit. Ribs for show.
I'm saying, like, is that a must-have?
Oh, like, yeah. Like at the club, it's got to be. Like, this has
non-negotiable.
To be
non-negotiable has to be. To me, I said, this is my answer. My answer was the must-have, burgers and dogs. That's a must. You can't, like, you can't have a 4th of July cookout. You can't say happy birthday, America, and not have burgers and dogs. Now, the burgers might be like fucking hockey pucks because they well overdone, done. Half of them got cheese on it, and half of them don't for some reason. And the ones that have cheese on it, sometimes it'd be just half a slice of cheese on it.
where the cheese was melted so fucking much, you see it in the crevices of the burger.
The cheese is see through at that point because it cooked too much. But they sitting in that tin foil tray, right? And you grab it and it's cold and it's hard or whatever. But you have to have burgers and dogs. You said ribs, Jerv. You'd like to have ribs, but you can walk up to a cookout and not see ribs. Like, oh, that's cool.
For me, I might call your cookout ass though if you don't have ribs though. If it's a big cookout and you don't have ribs, I'm calling your cookout. Like if you're having a 4th of July, I'm not talking about it's Wednesday, I'm throwing some shit on the grill. No, I'm cookout. You got to have ribs, bro.
You're at the park. You got like you might have all chipped in on a jumpy house for the kids. Like big cookout like that.
I need some ribs. There will be ribs there. If there's not ribs, the cookout's ass. Yeah, wow. The cookout's ass.
Trey, what about you?
Man.
Trey don't eat shit.
A
bottle of wine. There must be a bottle of wine. If there's no crushed grapes.
Hey, a nigga go vegan for a couple years and this how niggas treat me. Like I ain't him. Playing with me, man. Nah, on my plate for sure. That must be at the cookout. I need potato salad for sure. Deviled eggs. I like deviled eggs. I don't know why. I fuck with deviled eggs. So
deviled eggs. I never got deviled eggs. Man.
Never got jiggy.
I don't know why though.
It's just a boiled egg with paprika on it, right? Is there anything else a deviled egg than that?
So I don't know. Like, I think every time I eat it, I'll be smacked.
I bet I could do that shit at home, man, and then I never do because it's like.
Well, I'm just thinking about the sides, right? That be going on a plate. I for sure gotta have a burger. Them burgers be so they be cool. But they be low key trash. Like some type of barbecue, whether it's like, you know, if the glizzy low key kind of gotta be tight burnt, like on a char.
Dog, that's for me, the chicken. Them chicken leg quarters.
The quarter thigh.
Dog. Yeah. I need that. Nah. It's got that char on. No,
you know how they make the jerk chicken? Like when you go buy jerk chicken, that's how I want that shit. Like, and then you can add the sauce on it, and then you good. What,
yo,
fuck with them.
With a rooftop. Weren't we on a rooftop in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Where was the cookout? When was that? Am I tripping?
That was Kelly's spot.
Kelly's spot. There you go. Yeah.
That's Kelly's spot. Cause we bounced back and forth. We went to two different spots. We had we went there and the shit low key got out of hand. It was too many people. But niggas had chicken.
Yeah. Y'all like the leg quarter?
I love a leg. What are you
that
talking
takes up
about?
So much room. I mean, it's cool. It just takes up so much room on your plate.
Nigga, get two.
Oh man. Get a plate
for
the side.
Hey, that's when you get cookout legs, bro, and you go bow. And you listen, have both legs sitting.
This is when we just gotta be true to ourselves, right? I'm known to have a bang out from time to time because I just get too comfortable. So I try to limit as much of the messiness as possible. So like I don't really go get the chicken if it's got all that barbecue and all that shit on it because that just gives more opportunity for a bang out, bro. Like I'm too worried about banging, like messing up, like dropping something on myself.
Oh, come on. To be 100% honest with you. For real?
I still get young boy stains sometimes. I'm not gonna lie, I still get young. I'm 41, but get young boy stains.
Big ass stain on your shirt.
Yeah, bro. All of a sudden, I'll just miss my mouth or I'll just miss the like potato salad fall off my fork or some shit.
Oh, man. That's tragic. That's tragic. Sides, what are you going for sides, Jerv?
I like potato salad. If you have seafood salad, that like I love it. Especially like with the real crab meat and the fucking shrimp and all that
that's
stuff.
That's bougie shit.
That's bougie
shit. I've never crab salad.
No, it's basically tuna salad, but they put shrimp and crab meat and stuff in a seafood salad.
Yeah,
basically.
I ain't never had that shit in my life, nigga.
Oh, nigga, y'all gotta pull up. Y'all gotta pull up. Here we go.
Trey, what do you got as your sides?
Potato salad for sure. I don't know why. It just complements the barbecue the right way. I don't fuck with coleslaw.
Unless yeah, coleslaw's nasty.
Hey, you know what? I'll say it, America. I fuck with coleslaw.
You know what, though? The only time I fuck with coleslaw is when I was in Louisville, bro, and they threw it on, like, one of these type of burger sandwiches or something.
They put it on the sandwich, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll do that. I'll do that.
Coleslaw that shit, in the sandwich. Is a, yeah, coleslaw by coleslaw itself is sandwich. Nasty, yeah.
But that's what coleslaw. I'm saying. It's a lot of shit that I think is trash that has to be blended. Like, olives need to be blended with something. I eat olives on olives. Accident.
I don't fuck olives. With. Like,
give me yeah, that I can't salt. It give me, sodium. Like, a weird salt, tangy shit, right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
So then, but yeah, potato salad. I don't like that. What's the one that it looked like potato salad, but it's not, like macaroni?
Macaroni salad.
That, I don't like that one.
I'll do that shit too. I'll do all them bitches, man.
Them gelatin cakes too look terrible too. It's a lot of gelatin shit that niggas.
Cake. Where the hell are y'all? What's a gelatin cake?
Nigga, you know what I'm talking about, bro. That's like it's shaped like a fucking cake, but it's gelatin.
But it's jello.
I don't fuck with that. I don't like that.
No,
shit.
Nigga, I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't never see no fucking gelatin cake.
All right, nigga. But anyway, potato salad for me, bro. That's all I got for you. And maybe a Hawaiian dinner roll for sure.
Oh, gotta get the King's Hawaiian rolls. Yeah,
yes,
man.
Nigga. Yes.
Oh man,
They got those into hot dog buns now, nigga.
I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna put y'all on something. You go to Costco, you get like this massive Costco sack of them for like $4. You'll never finish them. They'll go bad before you can finish them. But for $4, nigga, yeah. I'll come home. I'll have them in the house. I'll just be eating them. Just eating straight bread. Delicious. Delicious. All right, that's going to do it for us. Everybody have a happy ass July 4th. Stay away from the fireworks. Just stay away from the fireworks, man. Like, don't have no homemade fireworks. It don't make it cool. You're not fun. It's not fun for anybody. You freak out the kids. You freak out the dogs. Just relax. Cook out. Have fun. Drink some beers. Play some silly games. Maybe jump around in the pool. Enjoy yourself. Again, or sign up for patreon.com/countthedings. There will be no overflow tomorrow. We are not going to record on July 4th, but we will be back a week later to review what we missed on Westworld. For Black Trey, for Big Jerb, for our special guest Dan Perlman of Flatbush Misdemeanors, thank you and stay black, motherfuckers.